You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Welcome to Baseball Zealot Radio. We have a very exciting show today. We'll be interviewing Ted Mellish. Ted is an author on the Baseball Zealot blog and is a co-host on our show. He is now in Arizona and is getting a first-hand look at the Arizona Fall League and has a pretty good look at what's going on down there. And it's a very good interview, and the rest of us are going to be taking a good look at the Hot Stove League and the MLB Awards. So it'll be a good show. I'd like to introduce the other hosts on the show. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we had Todd Ventresca. Todd, are you there with us?
Yep, I'm here. How you doing?
How you doing over there?
Doing okay. How about you?
Are you getting the bad weather that we had here in Illinois?
It's not too bad.
All right.
Today.
From Urbana, Illinois, we have Sean Lee. Sean, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, great. So, have you guys had a chance to watch the postseason on TV?
Yep. Saw some of it here and there.
What was your impression of the games overall?
I didn't find it had the drama, I don't think, of past years. But I think it was, some good baseball played.
Well, I got the... What I've been hearing on the from the media is that a lot of people have been saying that it was boring, that it didn't have the... like you said, the excitement, but I quite honestly, I don't think if I agree. I don't know if the a World Series necessarily has to go seven games in order to have the excitement. So I don't know. I think there was a lot made of the fact that there wasn't an East Coast team in the World Series. Two Midwest teams that. Sort of small market cities that were in World Series, and that might have had a
well, I don't think that's what it was. I don't think that's what it was for me. I mean, frankly, I thought the Tigers getting it was great. I thought it was, the way they turned it around, I thought it was awesome. And I love Jimmy Leland being from Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, what he did here. I've always liked the guy.
Sure.
I was pulling for him. And, I was... just wish they could have turned it around a little bit, and
I don't know how you could say the World Series was boring. Is there
no.
a boring World Series? There's not.
I didn't say it was
World Series.
Yeah, I didn't say boring.
You did.
I thought the postseason as a whole just didn't have some of the drama that it's had the last couple of years.
Right.
That's all.
And that's definitely true. I mean, some years it's more dramatic than others, but. I don't know. It's hard for me to judge because I enjoyed watching the World Series just as much as any other year. And I don't know. For anybody who likes baseball, I mean, have you ever watched a boring baseball game?
That's the problem. You know,
I don't know how you can make that kind of judgment on behalf of the entire country that this was a boring World Series.
No. You know what it is? I mean, baseball, I mean, the sad thing is it's losing its fans, I think. Its fan base is dwindling, and it doesn't, if balls aren't flying out of the park like they were, this year I guess they went back up, but, like they were like in 87 and then in 98, people are, it doesn't hold their interest, I think we're a nation of ADD people when it comes to baseball.
Right. I think it's more accurate to say that we're not gaining more fans. The fans that we have are, I think staying with the game, but we're not gaining more fans, and the extra fans that may be on the fringe, teetering on the edge there. But I think that's more of an accurate statement as far as the
Well, they are saying that the kids in the urban areas and the inner cities, there's fewer of them playing baseball.
Right, and it's not helping when Oakland decides to go to, you know, take their stadium to the Fremont, which, you know, was decided just last week.
Yeah, but they got to go wherever they can get the deal, right?
Right.
Oakland wasn't willing to pony up, so what were they supposed to do? I don't know. But, Sean, to your point, you're right. And I think, you know, I mean, that's one of the biggest talks in baseball the last few years is the number of African Americans is on the decline at the major league level.
Oh,
part of it is because it's just not being played at the younger ages.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the reason it is, I mean, if you drive through, I mean, you know, I don't do it on a daily basis, but you don't see baseball fields, and it's a lot easier to take a basketball and play that on asphalt than it is baseball. I mean, and I think that's part of the problem. And I think some places baseball is trying to do that. I mean, they're trying to, in a lot of the urban areas, inner cities, there are programs now. I know up in Minneapolis, they're doing a big program there where this company's coming in and building fields in the inner city with donations from ballplayers and that. Torrey Hunter's involved in that. And really trying to get it built up in the inner city and get the game back.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's Todd, like you said, I mean, do people need to have Mark McGwire's and Sammy Sosa's? Is that what it's going to take to keep people interested?
I just think baseball needs to learn how to market their game better, maybe.
Right.
That could be it, too. I mean, the NFL, you know, people love it. They go crazy. But, you know, there's not, on a weekly basis, I mean, anymore, especially this year, I think. Offense seems to be down a little. You don't see points going up. Even when defenses roll the year, their fans, you know, you don't hear anybody crying. They love defense. They love offense. Why can't baseball come up with a way to market their game, to market baseball? I just can't figure it out.
Tough to compare the two sports, really. Right. You know, people who love football, hate baseball, and vice versa. And I don't know how you can get them both on the same playing field like that.
Why did football leapfrog baseball? I don't know. I think it's all the marketing, though, maybe. But who knows?
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure that's part of it. We need to solve those problems for you, Tom.
I think you're doing a great job. Bo Schembechler died yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd, you're going to a OSU Michigan party later on today, right?
Yes, I am. Wearing my maize in blue.
Yeah.
I'll have to put a piece of black tape now on there over the M.
Oh, boy. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The timing was just amazing. It's just amazing. You know, I was out on Sportsline yesterday, CBS Sportsline cruising through reading the article.
Yeah.
And then they have posts at the end of the article. I mean, some of the posts, I mean, they went from, you know, the true heartfelt post to the absolute ridiculous from some, you know, let's say fans that don't wear the maize and blue.
Right.
Talking about how Bo timed this out.
Oh, I know.
To motivate the team today.
Oh, gosh. You got me kidding.
Yeah, he willed himself to die today.
Okay.
All the way to some guy from Ohio State wrote in there that it's all a hoax. It's all a hoax. Michigan's going to win. And then here, Bo come into the locker room after the game. You know, it's like, jeez, people.
I was telling you before the show that when I was a kid, and my family is a big Illini family. We have a few in the family who went to University of Illinois, and I eventually went to University of Illinois. Bo Schembechler was one of the few who was the embodiment of evil in our family, you know, along with like Woody Hayes and Hayden Fry. You know, so that was how we viewed, you know, Bo.
Yep. Well, as we were talking, Bo's one is in the. I think the reason you brought this up was because of his days with the Tigers and his
right.
His one big move, I think, that he's known for, which was.
That's what.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, go ahead.
When he canned, arguably one of the greatest broadcasters of baseball in the history, right. Ernie Harwell.
Oh, yeah.
So, but well, I think anyway. I think most people forgot about that, and they just remember him from football.
Well, they're not forgetting about it in his obituaries online. I'm reading on MLB.com and a few others, and they're not forgetting to mention it. So even in his passing, they're not forgetting to mention them.
Guys? That's the first I know about that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
My roots are not in the Midwest or the Big Ten. I'm from the East Coast, and so it's not until I came out, started living in Central Illinois that, I started getting plugged into, the Big Ten environment.
Right.
So I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is we're in the midst of the MLB Awards Week. Where it's pretty much, they try to draw it out, pretty much make it into its own little season in itself, practically.
Yeah, but I think it's more compact now than it used to be.
Is that right?
They used to go you used to have the Rookie of the Year to 1 week, following week was Cy Young, then the third week was MVP. Now they got it down to
1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One a day?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, not quite one a day. The MVPs are coming out. They think the National League comes out Monday and the AL comes out Tuesday.
Right. So Santana won AL Cy Young. We can get that out
that's
of the way
no
right
brainer.
Now. No brainer right there.
I know where you're going.
Where? I know. I think that Wong was second, right? And I think who was third?
I didn't even see the vote.
Holliday was third. I think.
Yeah, that's right. Holliday was up there.
Yeah. But... Yeah, like you say, it's pretty much a no-brainer that.
I mean, for the last few years now, I think he's been the best left-handed pitcher in baseball.
Right. Yeah.
Especially in the American League, but definitely right. I think in all of baseball. I mean, the guy I've had a chance to see him pitch a few times now. I mean, he's just amazing what
right.
he does. So now the National League.
Now that's a little bit different. That's a little different. You have six pitchers who tied for the league lead in wins with the lowest total, I think, of all time. 16, right? Not including the strike-shortened seasons.
Right. The three work stoppage years.
Right, yeah. So it made it very difficult. And you throw in Trevor Hoffman... For people who didn't think there was a good enough pitcher, starting pitcher.
Yeah, you would have thought if any year if a reliever was going to sneak in there, this would have been the year.
Well, he almost did. Well,
but,
I mean, so it came down to Trevor Hoffman. This would be his year, I think.
I was a little surprised Brandon Webb got it. To be honest with you, I thought it was going to go to Carpenter.
Yeah.
Myself, but I'm not saying Webb's not deserving. But
you gotta understand that
one of the people that has the bias towards voted
right after he blew, two or three games, and that sticks in their mind.
Who's that?
When they
well, Carpenter coming down the
Carpenter,
stretch.
Carpenter blew like two or three games.
Right, yeah, coming down the stretch.
Right when they voted, and. Like it or not, whether or not that's right, that sticks in their mind, and that's a sad fact. And that's a tough lot for him.
Yeah, Brandon Webb could have blew a couple of games, but nobody would have noticed because Arizona wasn't in the pennant race.
Right, he actually did blow the last game.
Yeah,
before
he got ripped.
But they probably already voted by that time.
No, technically they don't vote until the day after the season ends.
They probably already.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be able to vote until after the season ends.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know some of them probably have their ballots already filled out. I don't know
right.
when they get their ballots.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's my point, yeah.
I saw John Smoltz got a vote.
Who?
John Smoltz.
Oh, did he really?
He got a second place vote. I love looking at the bottoms of those lists.
So do I.
Who the stragglers were.
Exactly.
Like Walt Weiss getting a Hall of Fame vote. That kind of thing?
Exactly.
Must be his brother.
Right.
So, on to that, you know, if you had a brother on the Hall of Fame ballot, you'd have to vote
sure,
for him, wouldn't you?
Sure.
So you think Zambrano will get it next year?
He actually had a decent year this year. He just had control problems, and his stats were very similar to Webb's, with the control issue aside.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all very similar. I mean, Harang and Webb and Zambrano, I mean, they all had very similar stats. He just, you know, just...
Too bad he couldn't roll his offensive numbers over and parlay that into a Cy Young number.
Right. I like Roy Oswalt. I think
five or six homers.
Right. Yeah. Oswalt hasn't had the best ERA this year.
I think Oswalt is gonna win one.
He will.
He's gonna win one.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah.
He is probably, you know, one of the best pitchers in the NL.
One of the best last few. He keeps getting overshadowed on his own team,
right?
You know, like Clemens and then Pettit. So, but yeah, he's one of the tops in the game too right now.
Right.
I think if I had a game to win and somebody said you got Oswalt, that's your only choice, I don't think I'd be too disappointed sending him out there to win a game for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Any surprises on the Rookie of the Year this year? Hanley Ramirez and Justin Verlander.
No, well, Verlander, I think again that was a
runaway.
I mean, I don't really think there was a choice. You know, the only person I think that could have pushed him would have been Liriano had he not got hurt.
Right.
You know
what? Papelbon again.
He got hurt too.
He got hurt.
He got hurt, but you know, he's a relief pitcher, and I just don't like relief pitchers.
You don't like relief pitchers?
No, I just think. You know, we'll see how Papelbon is. I mean, these guys are relief pitchers for a reason, right?
Right.
They can't start. So, I mean, it's just my, you know, I just don't like it.
Well, Papelbon can start.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll see next year.
Right.
We'll see about Papelbon next year. Is what I hear.
And Neil Kotz and what's his name from St. Louis? They'll all start next year. But
Wainwright.
Wainwright, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Koss, if you remember, he tried to start a couple of times.
He was
when he came up. We'll see.
That's a topic for another conversation, I guess. But
there was both leagues. I mean, a National League was a great rookie field. American League wasn't bad either. It was a lot of good rookies throughout the entire major leagues, I thought.
Yep.
Yeah, it seemed that way.
But the National League, I mean, you could have, well, Ramirez, I mean, but you could have picked Ugla, Willingham, any of those guys off of that team for contention. And what was the pitcher's name for Florida?
Oh, Josh Johnson?
No. They had four guys that finished in the top 10, didn't they, for Rookie of the Year? No. I can't remember the guy's name now. Sorry. Yeah, but they had like four guys, I think, didn't they? Finish in the top.
On the Marlins? Just the Marlins?
Yeah, on the Marlins. Both? I thought they had three or four guys. They had Ugla.
Oh, Sanchez.
Oh, it was Josh Johnson. Yeah, you're right, John. Josh Johnson was fourth in the voting. Ugla was third, and Johnson was fourth.
The only reason I took Josh Johnson away is because I was in a fantasy league and a friend of mine drafted him at the beginning of the year and talked him up all year long, giving himself pats on the back, getting tired of it. Anyway, sorry.
Joe Girardi, manager of the year or no? Well, of course he is. He got voted in. But do you agree?
I don't agree.
I don't agree either.
I don't agree. I don't know how you can give somebody that award and the team gets a losing record. I don't care what kind of playoff contention you're in, but not to take anything away from him.
No.
He did a nice job putting up with the ownership there. But I can't see how you can give that guy the award for the losing record.
Yeah. I think they got caught up in the amazing thing. They were, what, how many down in the greatest turnaround from X amount of games below 500 to get back to 500 in the same season in the history of baseball. But in the end,
right,
he didn't do anything.
That's it. In the end. You know,
in the end, he didn't do anything. How about Bochy? Or how about Greedy Little? Or Willie Randolph?
Well, Randolph
having trouble with Randolph getting it, they handed him a team. I mean, what did Bochy have to work with? What did Greedy Little have to work with?
They handed him a team, but the team fell apart.
Who?
I mean, well, the injuries.
The Mets?
The injuries. Yeah,
but they had the division wrapped up early. It fell apart by the time the postseason came around.
That's true.
Right? No offense, but I'm just saying. And you know, how about Jerry Nairn?
Yeah, from the
Reds, right?
Yeah.
Reds, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how about the job he did? Having that team in contention for most of the year.
Sure, yeah.
You know? So.
And I think that, I'm speaking from a point of view with Girardi that, you know, Girardi's from Peoria. He's from downstate Illinois boy and an ex-Cub.
Northwestern all grad.
All that together. And I love the guy. And I still wouldn't have minded seeing him come to the Cubs as a manager. But all that still, you know, I still would have rather seen someone who had a winning record win the manager of the year. I don't know. It just didn't seem right. And what do you guys think about La Russa not getting one vote? I mean, it seemed kind of strange that he got shut out of the whole voting process.
Well, I think it goes back to the point where when you're expected to win,
right,
you're taken for granted.
But if you don't, but if you don't win, you get voted in.
This kind of it ties to
don't win, you get fired.
Right? Yeah, right.
It ties to when we were talking about Carpenter and how he might have lost out on the Cy Young.
Right.
That was right around when the ballots were going in. That was when the Cardinals were just collapsing.
Uh huh.
And that I'm sure that had an influence. Right there.
Well,
at the
not
end
to
of
get
year.
One vote.
Well,
influenced every
it is,
single
it does.
Writer?
Yeah, I'm surprised. It makes me scratch my head. He didn't get one vote, but all I'm saying, I'm just trying to speculate why. And I mean, that's a big reason to me.
Yeah. Nick, right. You go back and you look at some of the coaches and not just baseball through the years where, you know, Chuck Knoll for the Steelers, who won 4 Super Bowls, never was coach of the year.
Right.
Phil Jackson, 6 NBA championships. I don't know if he got a coach of the year when he was with the Bulls. I know he got one with the Lakers, but I don't know if he ever got one.
Huh.
You know, he may have, but I don't know.
And speaking of being fired, Ken Maga was third in the voting in the AL. Of course, he got fired. So.
Yeah, I don't know what happened out there.
Right.
You know, especially remember after last season, 2005, he left. He didn't have a contract.
Right.
He was exploring other jobs and ends up getting re-signed by Oakland.
Did he leave or did he
his contract was up at the end of last year, at the end of 2005.
And he just
so he was looking around, shopping around. Matter of fact, he wanted the Pirates job really bad because he's from Pittsburgh, played for the Pirates, and he's from here. And he wanted the job really bad. But he didn't get it. And then he ends up going back to Oakland. And then he gets canned at the end of this year. So I don't know.
And of course Leland won the AL Manager of the Year. I don't think there's. I have no problem with that. I think he did.
Timmy Leland
did a fine
my
job.
My guy. Yeah. Did a
I don't think too many people have a problem with that.
I don't know how you can.
Right. one small thing I have is the Silver Slugger Award for the third baseman of the American League. I'm one of the biggest Joe Keady fans out there. And I like to hate Alex Rodriguez just as much as anyone out there, but quite honestly, I'm not sure why Joe Creedy got the Silver Slugger Award and Alex Rodriguez did not. Sean, you're a Yankee fan. Can you explain?
Well, I don't think anybody really is fond of Alex Rodriguez, even most Yankee fans, for whatever reason. Personally,
right.
I love the guy. I think people just look for ways to hate him.
Right.
What were Creed? I know Creed had a. Did he have his best year of his career this year?
He had one of the best years of his career. The biggest thing, difference between him and A-Rod is he had 30 walks and A-Rod has 90. So the on base is just like a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, A-Rod's got bigger, slightly, probably a little bit bigger on batting average and maybe a little higher slugging percentage. Not much, but the biggest difference, I think, would be the on base. Look, honestly, in almost every category, I would say A-Rod outperforms Creedy. The only difference, I think, is Creedy has, like, less strikeouts, maybe. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure of that. But I'm almost, other than that, I think A-Rod probably outperforms Creedy.
Well, as far as...
did he this year, though?
This year.
He did?
I looked it up, yeah.
Every time I turn on a White Sox game, Creedy was getting a hit in the eighth, ninth inning, it seemed like. Uh-huh. He seemed like he was...
He is clutch.
Really right. Clutch.
He is clutch.
He's very clutch.
Silver Slugger is... that award is voted on by the managers and coaches.
Uh-huh, right.
And I think when you see a clutch guy like that, that will stick in the mind of a manager and coach, no doubt about it.
That's true.
Plus, again, going back to the A-Rod thing, I just don't think he's very well liked.
No.
You know?
And I suppose not.
I'm sure that had a big part of it.
Right.
So that one stuck out at you, Tom, huh?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Well, I love Creedy. And like I said, he's on my Apple team, so that's why he kind of sticks out. And I don't want to take an award away from my own player, but at the same time, it did stick out to me because it just didn't seem that maybe A-Rod might have deserved that award. And I've heard other baseball pundits mention that why did Creedy get this award when A-Rod had such superior stats, and is it because people hate A-Rod so much, which I thought was kind of ironic, because the people who hate A-Rod so much are the people who are saying this right now. The people who are complaining about A-Rod not getting this award are the same people who have been hating on A-Rod all year. So, mm-hmm. I guess you reap what you sow. That kind of thing, so whatever. Anyway, I think we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we have an interview with our other host, who is on vacation. Lucky for us, he takes his vacations in Arizona, where he was getting a first-hand look at the Arizona Fall League. And he's been talking with pretty much everyone down there with executives, players. I think a lot of people, whoever he can get his hands on, he's been able to get a real good first-hand look at what's going on down there. And so we're gonna take a real quick break, and we'll be back with that interview with Ted Mellish. We'll be back.
Baseball is a president tossing out the first ball of the season and a pudgy schoolboy playing catch with his dad on a Mississippi farm. A tall, thin old man waving a scorecard from the corner of his dugout. That's baseball. And so is the big, fat guy with a bulbous nose running home one of his 714 home runs. There's a man in Mobile who remembers that Honus Wagner hit a triple in Pittsburgh 46 years ago. That's baseball. And so is a scout reporting that a 16-year-old Sandlot pitcher in Cheyenne is a coming Walter Johnson. Baseball is a spirited race of man against man, reflex against reflex, of game of inches. Every skill is measured, every heroic, every failing, seen and cheered, or booed, and then becomes a statistic. In baseball, democracy shines its clearest. The only race that matters is a race of the bag. The creed is a rule book, and color, merely something to distinguish one team's uniform from another. baseball is a rookie, his experience no bigger than the lump in his throat as he begins fulfillment of his dream. It's a veteran, too. A tired old man of 35, hoping those aching muscles can pull him through another sweltering August and September. Nicknames of baseball, names like Zeke and Pie and Kai Kai and Home Run and Cracker and Dizzy and Dazzy. Baseball is the clear, cool eyes of Rogers Hornsby, the flashing spikes of a Ty Cobb, and an overaged pixie named Rabbit Moranville. Baseball, just a game, as simple as a ball and bat, and yet as complex as the American spirit it symbolizes. It's a sport, a business, sometimes almost even religion. Why, the fairy tale of Willie Mays making a brilliant World Series catch and then dashing off to play stickball in the streets with his teenage pals. That's baseball. And so is the husky voice of a doomed Lou Gehrig saying, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth. Baseball is cigar smoke, hot roasted peanuts, ladies' day, down in front, take me out for the ball game, the seventh inning stretch, and the star-spangled banner. Baseball is a man named Campanella telling the nation's business leaders, you have to be a man to be a big leaguer, but you have to have a lot of little boy in you, too. This is a game for America, this baseball. A game for boys and for men.
Welcome back to the show. This is Tom. I have Ted Mellish on the line. Ted is a host of the show. He's down in Arizona. He's getting a first-hand look of what's going on down at the Arizona Fall League. I'd like to take this time to introduce him. Ted, are you on the line here?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Ted?
Heavy ball game. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
It's cold and rainy up here. What's it like down there right now?
First of all, it is just really bad weather. I mean, it's like 80 degrees and it's sunny every day. I mean, how can you take that?
Oh, don't get me started here, okay? It's like 30 degrees and, like I said, cold and rainy. I don't want to hear it. Anyway.
Well, this is a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Arizona
Fall League, and this is the 15th year of the Arizona Fall League, and it's a place where minor leaguers go to work on things that they need to work on to either make the big leagues or to stick in the big leagues. So they have a wide range of players with their abilities, all the way from A-ball, all the way up to some guys who've had a cup of coffee in the big leagues.
So these are all minor league players that are in the AFL, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And instead of regular teams that compete or play against each other in spring training, each major league franchise will send a certain number of players, and they'll make up one team. For example, the Scottsdale Scorpions are made up of minor leaguers from the Angels, Brewers, Diamondbacks, Giants, and White Sox. And the Phoenix Desert Dogs, who have won the AFL championship the last 2 years, and in fact they've got the best record in the AFL again this year, and the championship game will be played this Saturday in Scottsdale. They are made up of players from the Oakland A's, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, the Cincinnati Reds, and the Detroit Tigers.
So is there any logic to these teams that make up one team, or are they just...
No, I really don't think so.
Okay.
And I've gone to 2 games so far, and like I said, the season ends the end of this week, and I've got 2 more games that I'm going to go to before I head back up north, which not really looking forward to. And actually, before I go up north, I'm going to make a swing over to Vegas and see if I can make some big bucks. But anyway, that's a story for another show.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to hear that one.
Yes, exactly. Yesterday I was watching a game between Mesa and Phoenix, and there's a pitcher named Mark McLemore.
I heard about this.
And he pitched with Round Rock, which is a AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros, and he pitched 3 innings yesterday. He faced a total of 9 hitters. One guy popped up to the third baseman, and he struck out all 8 other batters that faced him.
That is fascinating.
And three of the guys that he struck out on three pitches. He's a lefty, 6'2", 220, and he seemed to really have his act together yesterday. The funny thing is that up until yesterday, he had struck out eight guys all told, and then he struck out eight yesterday.
Wow.
So,
did the fans in the stadium, did they have an idea what was happening at the, when he did this?
You know, there were 205 paid fans in the stands, and one fan that snuck in before the gates opened, but you got to do what you got to do,
Sure.
And they didn't ask me for a ticket, so what the heck, I hope they're not listening.
So what kind of people are coming to these games?
There are a lot of local people, but I've met people from all over the United States that are followers of minor league baseball, and they're also followers of their teams, and they want to see what their prospects look like up close and personal.
Sure.
And like I said, there are only 200 people in the stands, so it's a real cozy atmosphere. The ballparks are not so cozy, though, because, like today, I went out to Scottsdale, and their ballpark is 360 to left field and 430 to center.
Yikes.
So, I mean, it really takes a poke to get the ball out of the ballpark.
Right.
Yesterday, I saw a guy who played A ball for the Minnesota Twins. His name is David Winfrey.
Uh-huh.
And he's a third baseman. And he hit a ball a mile to left field and knocked it over the wall. Kid looks like a real legitimate prospect.
Uh-huh.
He's probably 2 years away from the bigs, but it looks like the Twins got another good one coming up there. Ben Zobrist. I don't know if you...
The name sounds very familiar. Zobrist is a name that rings a bell with me. What organization is he with?
He played a little bit with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays last year.
Okay, that's why.
And they got him in a trade from the Houston Astros for Aubrey Huff.
Okay.
And so far, Zobrist has played, including these two games that I've witnessed, 26 games. And he's either walked or gotten a base hit in every single ball game.
Wow.
So... he looks like he's a legitimate shot at holding down the shortstop job for Tampa Bay. And, it's really neat to see these guys in the setting. And, you say, do these games really matter? Are these players really into it? Well, yesterday at the end of the game, two of these players ended up getting tossed. Cody Kirkland is a third baseman with Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a guy named Brooks Conrad who is playing center field. He's with Houston. And both of the guys argued called third strikes and were tossed by the umpire. So
they're playing for real, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this means a lot to these guys. And the difference between a minor league and a major leaguer is quite stark in that the minor leaguers are trying to find enough meal money so that they can go out and get themselves something good to eat.
Sure.
And major league minimum, I believe, is $250,000 a year. So, there's quite a bit on the line here. There's another guy that I wanted to mention. His name is Chip Cannon, and he's trailing a little bit in the batting title race. But he's only three home runs away from the Arizona Fall League record. He's hit 11 home runs, and 14 is the all-time record of Arizona Fall League. This guy is 6'5", 215. He's a left-handed hitting first baseman for Toronto. And he definitely is going to get a shot at the bigs. I mean, the guy is doing everything he needs to do. And it's really neat to hang out with the scouts. And, the scouts all have their radar guns going. And today there was a pitcher named Dennis Sarfate. He's from the Milwaukee Brewer organization. And he was throwing 93 miles an hour.
Wow.
And Well, you're sitting around. They're talking about the Cubs signing Mark DeRosa today, which is a story that just broke. And, you know, I ran into Roland Heeman out in the parking lot, and I shook hands with him and congratulated him. He's the assistant general manager for the Chicago White Sox. I congratulated him on the hard work, finally getting a championship to the South Side a couple of years ago. Uh-huh. We kind of lamented the fact that the Sox didn't quite have enough to make it this year. And then there's this exec from the Cubs. I'm not familiar with who he was, but he's talking to me about Mark DeRosa signing with the Cubs. And I said, well, what about Ryan Terrio? And he said, you know, he says, Terrio did everything right at the tail end of this past Major League season to win a Major League job. And then he says, I tried to secure him a job in winter ball, and he said he was moving. So he said he couldn't make winter ball.
Wow.
So I guess if you snooze, you lose, and it looks like it's a tough break because it looks like Mark DeRosa is going to take his job now.
That is a tough break for Terrio. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like he's out.
It was a wrong answer for him to make.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was an older rookie as it was. I think he's 26 years old. But still, he did everything he needed to do. And but it's a great environment to watch a little baseball. It's nice to get out of the cold and rainy Chicago area and I'm enjoying myself.
That's fantastic. I really wish I was down there right now.
Wish you were too.
Yeah. Thank you, Ted. Any other observations you want to make about the
See. You know, there's this guy named Ryan Braun, who's a third baseman in the Milwaukee Brewer organization.
Uh-huh.
And he looks like he's got a good bat, and I saw him make a good play in the field today. He looked very good. Let me see if there's anybody else that stands out in my mind. I would say that's basically about it. I've really enjoyed myself. Rich Thompson's a right-hander with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's out of Sydney, Australia. And he's born in 84, so he's only 22 years old, and he played in Double-A this past year. He's had a really rough go of it so far in the Arizona Fall League. However, the day that I saw him, which was today, the guy was throwing everything right there. He was right on. So it's hard to say. I mean, these guys are young guys, and, you know, they're working on things, too, so maybe he was working on a slider, maybe he was working on a trick pitch, and maybe that pitch was getting nailed while he was getting working on it. Now he's got it together, and who knows?
One more question. What is the local response to the AFL and Scottsdale and Phoenix and all these towns? And what's the media like, the local media like in terms of the Arizona Fall League?
Well, I'll tell you, the Arizona Fall League has grown in popularity. They said that the tickets are more in demand than they ever have. But that being said, there are about 200 people that come out now, and in spring training you're probably looking at about 5,000.
Right.
So, I mean, the stands are very sparse. And the media coverage is also not really in existence.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, what I did notice is a lot of freelance people doing media coverage, kind of like what we're doing here. And I did notice, you know, a couple of people doing feeds, and I'm not sure what they were doing, but they didn't really look all polished.
Sure.
So it looked like it was people, you know, picking up where the mainstream media is not. The one thing that I will say is there are probably more scouts in attendance for the Arizona Fall League than you'd see at any major league game.
Wow,
That's
amazing.
And that's a lot of fun.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. I'm having a great time. Well, and I'll tell you what, I'll give you an update, you know, if you talk in the next couple of days, I can give you an update on, you know, the next couple of games that I see and see if any of these players jump out and show something, okay?
All right. Well, Ted, I know it's late, and I know you want to get to bed, so I'll let you go. I sure appreciate you giving us a report from Arizona, and thank you very much. Have a good time for the rest of the week. Are you going to be around for Saturday's championship game?
No, I'm going to be in Las Vegas.
You'll be in Las Vegas, okay. All right, well, have a good time, and thanks again.
Okay, and I'll talk to you soon. You stay dry, stay warm, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right, you take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we will be back for some more Baseball Zealot Radio.
Leans over, touches the heavy end, down from the platter, straightens up, cocks that bat, the German horse. DiMaggio swinging, it's a whistling line drive to left center field. It's a base hit, it's taken on the second hop by Ripple. The throw is coming in a second. DiMaggio is racing for it. DiMaggio makes it with a slide and is safe for a double.
If you have comments or questions or suggestions for the show, we would love to hear them. Please email them at feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. Zealot is spelled Z-E-A-L-O-T. Of course, if you'd like to go to the website is www.baseballzealotradio.com. You can also leave comments on the website. I like to hit on the hot stove lead just a little bit. One question I have for you guys. The Boston Red Sox have paid $51.1 million just for the right to negotiate with Daisuke Matsusaka. Actually, I had two questions. One, can they afford this? Given the fact that they are interested in signing, you know, Lugo, they have to at least either talk to Ramirez since he's a 10-5 player, and I think they have interest in a few other players that you know, they at least have to have, you know, keep all wallets open for. And my second question is, do you think this is is Matsusaka a legitimately good enough pitcher to warrant this amount of money and attention, or do you think this is sort of a PR move to put people in the stands?
Well, I don't think the Red Sox have any problem getting people in the stands.
Right.
Knowing the Red Sox pretty well, following the Yankees and stuff, I'm sure there was. Came down to a matter of we need to outbid the Yankees, and they knew the Yankees were going to go high, and I think that's maybe why the number just got. To me, it seems pretty out of hand.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
That's what I think, too.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the reports are that, you know, both New York teams went in the mid to upper 30s for this guy.
Uh-huh.
You wonder if it's true or not. Part of me thinks, you know, knowing how the Yankees or Red Sox deal, that somebody was inflating this guy to help hopefully that the Red Sox would pay $51.1 million. For the rights to this guy, but who knows? Who knows how good this guy really is? I mean,
right.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't really watch much Japanese baseball.
No,
I would if I could. You know, I always wish that, you know, they would televise some more of that here. I would love to watch it and find out more about it.
Exactly, but yeah, I mean,
but
it's hardly ever
wrong.
Yeah, but I think it's crazy. I think Seattle paid like 11, 12. $13 million or something for Ichiro 6 years ago or whatever
right.
It was.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, in 6 years, it's gone up, what, four times? It's increased 400% for the rights to a Japanese pitcher. And this is a pitcher, too. It's not an everyday player, right?
Can can anyone justify to me why this is worth it? I mean,
well, this 51 million is just for the rights to negotiate with the guy.
It's
what are they going to have to pony up now? What's this guy going to, like, another 60 to 70 million for 4 years?
Right, I've heard something to that effect.
I mean, they're going to have potentially 120 million tied up to this guy.
So how does this work now? If let's say they negotiate and the guy doesn't like the offer the Red Sox are putting on the table,
the money goes back.
They have 30 days to sign him. If no deal comes to fruition, yeah, they get their 51.1 back.
Right. Does he get to negotiate with any other team, or that's it? He goes back to Japan.
He has to go back to Japan.
I think he goes back, and that's it.
Now, here's the kicker.
For now.
You know who his agent is?
Right.
Scott Boras. So this guy is not going to come cheap.
Right. No.
That guy.
Yeah, he's not stupid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Red Sox are already vested $51 million. So, yeah, I mean, Boras has got to, you know.
He don't care. That 51 yeah. million is off. He doesn't care about that.
All the chips are on his side of the table.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to want to lose that 51 million.
Right.
And this would be a good segue into one of the things I wanted to talk to today, Tom.
What's that?
J.D. Drew.
Okay.
And his arrogance. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but the reason I bring it up is his agent is also Scott Boras, and. He has 3 years remaining at $13 million a year. He opts out, thinking that he's going to go out and get a better deal.
Right.
Now, to me, if I'm a Dodger fan, if I'm Ned Coletti, I'm thinking, thank God.
Right.
We just got out of $39 million that we don't have to pay to this malingerer.
Right.
Right? He's constantly underachieving. They made a big deal about how healthy he was this year. And I think he had one of his worst years.
Right.
You know, if you look at his numbers, he only hit 20 homers, I think, didn't he?
Right.
You know, the guy does get on base. I mean, he could be a decent player, but everything I've read about the guy is he doesn't want to play. I read that last year Bobby Cox had to sit him. He would optionally sit the guy 1 or 2 days a week just so he wouldn't come to him saying he had something wrong with him and want a day off. I mean... And this guy thinks somebody will go out and sign this guy. You know, he'll end up probably making more than he would have. But somebody's going to go sign him because he's still kind of young.
I mean,
the potential's there, but he just questioned. They were talking about how some of his teammates were talking about all he does is sit around the locker room and talk about his plans after baseball. You know, they interviewed him the day the Dodgers clinched the playoff spot this year.
Right.
And all he could talk about was his great season, his season. Didn't say anything about the team, nothing about the end of the postseason. All he kept talking about was how good his season was. I mean, the guy is a selfish person or a ball player.
Don't hold back here, Todd. Tell us how you really feel here.
Yeah, I really feel this. It's ridiculous. I mean, and just to have the audacity to turn around and just walk away from $39 million.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
So where is he at right now in the whole process?
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent now.
He's a free agent.
All right. Is he
willing to sign with anybody?
Is anyone interested?
Well, somebody will be. I haven't heard anything
sure
yet. But I'm sure somebody will sign him. Sounds like a perfect fit for the Cubs.
Yeah, no thanks. I've heard rumors, I think. I've heard rumors but I don't think I would like to have him.
Do you think that gives the Dodgers a better chance to land somebody like Soriano?
It could. You know, the Dodgers needed a lot. They needed they needed some more pitching. They needed another bat in the outfield.
Right.
And with that, you know, freeing up that money now, I think it's going to give them a good shot at getting somebody. Fill in a couple of those holes now instead of maybe only being able to fill one of them. I don't know.
So where is Soriano going then? Any ideas? Any rumors?
Philly was poised to make him a big pitch, but
yeah,
you know that was last Sunday I think was the first day they could start talking money, right?
Right.
And I don't know if they made the offer or not, but you know he's still out there. But if you look at the deal Aramis Ramirez signed, I mean, I think that's certainly going to push it up.
You heard from Aramis Ramirez, like, since the end of the postseason that he wanted to stay a Cub, he wanted to be a Cub next year, and I just, like, shook him head, yep, sure, Vermes, I know you do, and with this, you know, cynical, you know, feeling of me that,
yeah,
okay, what team are you going to be on next year? Sure you are. But he ended up a Cub because the Cubs ended up pulling up the Bucks, and
I'm glad
they did.
Yeah.
Because the Cubs would be, you know, up a creek if they did not sign Aramis, and they did.
Well, I think they're up the creek either way.
Well, thank you very much. but I am glad they did. I think a lot has been made in the media that, oh, you know, Aramis Ramirez is making more money than Derek Lee. Well, of course he is. I mean,
oh, he's had better years. Derek Lee's had one good year.
Derek Lee had one good year, a great year, and he was injured last year.
Right.
Of course, Aramis Ramirez is making more money than Derek Lee is. Derek Lee didn't play last year. You can't make those common analogies.
No, but my point is, Ramirez has had a history of having a few good years as opposed to one good year.
Well,
he should be making more money. Derek Lee's had one really good year, if you look back.
It's
a monster year with the Cubs.
Define good versus great. Derek Lee had a great year, and he's had a few good years.
That's some decent years, maybe.
Decent years,
I wouldn't say good.
Okay.
You compare it to some of the other first basemen in baseball. He hadn't come close to posting any of the numbers that some of these other first basemen have been posting. I don't think so for that one year.
And I'm not listening. This is not the Cub media saying this is like, you know, I don't know, MLB media saying this. And I think that, I don't agree with what they're saying. I think that you do need to take mostly in consideration what they've done last year. Derek Lee didn't do anything last year, and Aramis Ramirez played and had a good year.
Yeah, but doesn't Derek Lee still have a contract?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't even know why it's up for debate. When his contract's his chance.
No, that's actually the best point made. Yeah, no, it really should not even be.
I mean, when his deal's when up, Derek he'll Lee have comes, a chance, and he'll Lee, probably end up making more than Ramirez then. So.
When Derek Lee's contract is up and he renegotiates, his contract will probably be, and assuming he does well.
Well, if he can have years like 2005, then yeah, he'll make.
Yeah, yeah.
If he has years like he had 2000 through 2003 or 2004 or whatever, then he shouldn't be getting more. But we'll see.
Right. So.
But who knows?
But anyway.
But the Cubs, I mean, you know my feeling. I think they're a joke. But.
Well, thank you. Well, what I've been hearing.
You know, Ted,
totally opposite.
Ted Hendry's the winner of the Cub Survivor poll.
Well,
it was Dusty Bakers. And
that's a very good point.
And now Hendry's still there. He's the guy that brought in all these guys, and nothing's happened. He's the guy that signs the mid-level talent every year and overprices them. And I don't know.
Yeah, there was no discussion of getting rid of Hendry this year, and a lot of people were wondering, you know, how far up was the axe going to go, and unfortunately,
it skipped him.
It skipped him. Yeah, it skipped him. Exactly right.
Oh,
they got rid of the president. Well, the president retired or resigned.
Right.
And, but he didn't. It skipped him. And some people think maybe he shouldn't have. Frank Thomas got signed by the A's, I guess, yesterday, Friday.
2-year deal. Yep.
2-year deal with an option for a third year. He picked the right year to hit 39 home runs, I guess.
Yeah. He picked the right year to come back and be healthy.
Right.
That's for sure. I think that's the key. So, I was surprised. I mean, you know, the way he talked.
Surprised he got signed or surprised that he had a good year?
I was surprised that he got signed, that he signed with Toronto. The way he was talking, I really thought he was going to come back and sign with Oakland. But I guess $9 million a year is just out of their budget.
How old is he now?
Frank? I want to say he's 38, 39, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
38. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says he wants to play till he's 42.
He actually said that?
Yeah, he said that the other day. I read that.
Okay.
He said he wants to play till he's 42. And so we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way Billy Beane was gonna re-sign him. It's just not something Billy Beane would do, to give a guy that old that much money.
Right.
He just lets guys walk and.
Right. Especially when they're looking at, you know, what are they gonna do with Zito?
Right.
You know, they got that hole to fill. I guess it's not out of the realm that Zito would re-sign, but that's not their track record.
Right. So, you know, Zito has not been signed yet, right?
No, not to my knowledge.
Is there any chance that the A's will re-sign him at all?
It's not their history.
No.
You know, right?
Is he a free agent?
He's a free agent.
I don't know. Personally, I think Zito's questionable. I mean, I saw him pitch a few times this past season, and he did not look good. I mean, yeah, I think he put a good year together, but I don't think the guy's consistent enough to warrant, you know, that huge of a contract. And that's what he's going to look for, obviously. But I don't think the A's are going to give it to him.
No, maybe not the A's. Somebody will. I mean, the one thing he's got for him, the guy's healthy. He's never missed a start.
Right.
He's well into 220 some innings a year. And he's been a little inconsistent, but I think all in all he's pretty decent. I don't think there's, you know, that many pitchers out there better than he is right now.
Well, that's true. It's a pitcher's market right now.
Right.
You know, I don't think you'd be too upset if the Yankees signed him, Sean.
Well, where the Yankees pitching is right now, we will definitely take our chances with Zito.
Yeah.
Right. Hey.
And Pavano. I mean, Pinella can have Pavano.
Yeah, no thanks.
So,
anyway, so
somebody will pick him. I mean, he's going to get big bucks, too. He's going to get huge money. There's no doubt. And Carlos Lee is still sitting out there, right?
Yeah, he is. Any takers on the scene?
I don't know. I mean, why wouldn't Texas keep the guy? I don't know. Unless they're going to try to finally get some pitching.
Maybe they
signed Zito. But ain't that funny, though? You never hear Texas when it comes to free agents, unless it's Chan Ho Park. So, amazing what they do down there. But, yeah, Carlos Lee's another guy. He's sitting out there. You know, he's had a couple big years now, the last 2 years. And he's
how old is Carlos now?
Carlos Lee is 30.
He's 30? Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. El Caballo is 30 years old. Yep.
He seems like he's getting bigger every year.
You mean like fatter?
Yeah.
I don't think he walks past too many buffets that he doesn't take a sample of.
He doesn't miss too many buffet lines, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, here's a guy, when he was with the White Sox, I mean, you know, he was a good player. Decent right. player. He worked really hard, I think, to improve his play in the outfield. It's still, you know, average at best, but
right.
he's much better than he was when he first came up. Remember his first few years when they put him in the outfield, every fly ball to the guy was an adventure. But I think, he's really worked hard and improved his game a lot. And offensively,
and
he's a force
speed.
Now.
He's so, got a little speed, right?
He stole 19 bases this year.
19?
Yep. Okay, only caught twice. Good. Ain't the internet great? I got the stats right
know,
here in front
sir.
Of me. So, yeah. So we'll see.
Is he a good fielder?
Like I said, he's average at best. He worked hard, I think, to improve his game. He's much better than he was when he first started
right.
playing left field. That's for sure. And he says he still wants to play the outfield. He doesn't want to be a DH. So he might be looking to go back to the National League. Maybe the Nationals take him and fill in for Soriano. Who knows?
Right. He's still on 19 bases. The guy obviously can run and likes to run. So
yeah. You know, he gets on base.
There's enough DH types out there, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
What? And speaking of DH types, what about Barry Bonds? Is he staying with San Fran, or is he moving moving toward the AL.
I heard that with Frank Thomas gone, that you know, the A's might take a chance.
Right.
You know, I mean, that seems like a logical fit. He stays in the same area.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
Or do we care?
Do we care is the question.
Well, I think we do care, don't we, in a way? Yeah. I mean, you know, the drama next year is
right.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens when he gets to towards the, you know, gets there and ready to pass the or pass Aaron.
Aaron won't be there.
I think we know what the reaction's going to be. Yeah, and see, and I think that's wrong. My opinion, I think that's wrong. You know,
I think
whether he
I
did
think,
it or not, and again, you know, nothing's been proven.
You think it's wrong?
Why?
No. What exactly is wrong?
I don't think. I think Hank Aaron should be there.
I think what Aaron was trying to do was get it out of the way, so that, you know, he was saying.
Hank Aaron's not going to be there because he thinks Barry Bonds is a cheater, and that none of his home runs should count. That's why Hank Aaron's not.
Whether or not it's right or wrong, I think what Hank Aaron was doing was saying it here and now, so that when the time comes, he doesn't have to say it then and make a big deal and a stink. Everyone knows ahead of time, so that, you know, that, oh yeah, Hank Aaron already said he wasn't going to be there, so he did. That doesn't take away from the limelight and the spotlight. And,
but, you know, I guess we could get into a whole other topic on that.
Whether or not you agree with her or not, at least he doesn't have to come, oh, well, I'm not going to be there, that kind of thing, and make a big stink about it. Everyone knows ahead of time that Hank Aaron won't be there.
Yeah, but that's my point. And I'm saying ahead of time I think it's wrong. I think you're probably right.
He should be there. I do think you're right. But at least he had the decency to say it now instead of wait until that day or that week, whatever, and make a big scene about it, which that's not Hank Aaron's thing. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He's a pretty classy guy, I think.
Yeah. No, I'm nothing against him. I just think he's wrong for not being there. But, you know, and again, we could get into a whole nother.
Oh, yeah.
Debate over this whole issue as
sure.
well.
Right.
I mean, we all hope that Barry Bonds doesn't break the record because, right? I mean, I'm hoping that somehow he doesn't get there.
I'm only hoping he doesn't because I got a bet with a buddy of mine 5 years ago that he'd never break it.
What's the bet? I'm curious. What's on the line?
Just the fact that I said he wasn't going to do it.
No,
right. That's what's on the line. That's it.
So there's nothing on the line.
Nothing monetary. Nothing that we got to do.
Just bragging rights, huh?
Yep. That's it.
Okay.
And between me and my buddy, sometimes that's all we need.
Well, on that note.
It's more important than money.
Oh, I know. Sometimes bragging rights is all we have, right?
That's it. What did you guys think about, and Sean, in your opinion, too, as being a Yankee fan, what did you think of that whole Sheffield thing?
About him
getting upset about the Yankees. You know, remember early in the year, he was telling everybody how the Yankees told him they were going to pick up his option, and then the Yankees said they never said that, and he was all upset because he wanted them to pick it up. But then at the end of the year now, he was all mad because they did pick it up.
No, that's Sheffield being Sheffield.
Right.
He's done this with every team he's ever been on, and it's no big surprise. And I think the Yankees are right in just giving him the cold shoulder and just saying, you know what, thanks for your service. We're done.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I think, you know, Bobby Abreu is a big upgrade at this point in their careers.
The whole story that I'm hearing about him trying desperately to get Steinbrenner on the phone, and, you know, they keep blocking him from being able to do that. That's just funny to me. I mean, that just cracks me up.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently Sheffield thinks Steinbrenner is the only guy in the Yankee organization on his side, and I don't know.
Well, he was all upset. I mean, I thought it was ridiculous, and I thought the funny thing was he's the guy that negotiated the deal because he went up there and negotiated that deal on his own without an agent, and he's the one that made the deal with the Yankees. Yes.
Wow.
And then he's complaining at the back end about it. Well, right. Maybe that's why he should have an
Again, issue. That's true with every team he's been with, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He makes the deal, and come towards the end of the deal, he gets unhappy, and, you know, he gets cranky and grumpy. And
right.
Well, he was even making threats to any team that he was going to get traded to. He said that you better give me a long-term deal or renegotiate my contract if I come to your team, or else I'm going to make your life a living hell.
Wow.
That was what he said. Now, the Tigers got him. They gave him an extra year and gave him a bump, I think, of about $2 million a year. So, mm-hmm. Leland worked with him before, so I guess he figures he knows how to handle him. They were down in Florida. So
I got to admit, I love watching him hit.
He's the quickest bat I have ever seen. Without a doubt.
But still.
He does have some issues.
Okay,
well, I think we're going to wrap up the show here. One more time, I want to give the website address for Baseball Zealot Radio. You can see our website at www.baseballzealotradio.com. And our feedback address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. Zealot is spelled Z-E-A-L-O-T. One more thing, guys. Todd, OSU, Michigan, what's the score going to be today?
What's the score going to be?
Yeah, what's your...
Oh. We'll go with 24-13, Michigan.
Sean, well, you're a Rutgers guy, right? Who's Rutgers playing today?
Rutgers plays Cincinnati.
Cincinnati?
Rutgers
is getting, they're getting a raw deal too, man. That's ridiculous.
Well, I'm a Rutgers grad and, you know, it's been fun, but I'm still not convinced they've got the old Rutgers completely out of their system yet.
But my point is, they're undefeated. They're in the same conference as West Virginia and Louisville, who the writers felt were worthy enough to be ranked fourth and fifth, mm-hmm. and they beat one of those teams. Why shouldn't they be ranked up there now, ahead of the SCs and the Notre Dames, when the two other schools in their conference were? I don't see why not.
Well,
I really don't see why they shouldn't be up there at the three right now, to be honest with you, and having a shot to play.
I don't think too many Rutgers fans are complaining about where they are right now. I think they're very content, you know. I don't think,
well,
they can't ask for too much.
They finished the year undefeated and don't have a shot to play for the national title, though. That wouldn't be right.
I'll predict they will not finish the year undefeated.
Well, they still have to. Do they play West Virginia?
They still have to play West Virginia.
Yeah.
And who knows what will happen today. Like I said, last year they played Illinois and they had a 20-something point lead and blew it. And, you know, that happened under the current regime. Who says something like that can't happen again? That's why they play the games.
Right. Exactly.
You sound like a Red Sox fan, though, Sean. Not a Yankee. Not to insult you.
Ooh.
Yeah, right, guys. Don't tell him that.
But you sound like a Red Sox fan. You know, doubting all the way to the end.
That's Rutgers football for you.
I predict Illinois will be ahead 20-7 at the half, and will lose 30-20 by the end of the game.
Who are they playing today?
Northwestern.
Oh.
That's pretty much the story of their season. They have a handy lead by the half, and they lose the game. Yes, they're an exciting team to watch, but they never can pull it off.
They can't play 60 minutes of football.
Right, right. And I think that's going to be it for today's show. Please check the website for our next episode. I think we're going to be putting one out within a week or so. I think the next time we'll have Ted, Mally, Sean for the whole show. I think he'll give us a brief rundown of the whole of the rest of his trip and an overview of what happened, and I'm looking forward to hearing about it. And I think LaPorte will hit the MVP awards, and I know the winter meetings are coming up, so we'll probably get a preview of what those are going to be about, and whatever else we decide we want to discuss. One more time, I think we've given out the email address more than a few times, but I'll give it out one more time. It's feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. I think that's going to be it, so I'll be talking to you later.